This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Thursday's headlines. The labor market continues to struggle in this deep recession. Labor Department numbers released Thursday morning show the jobless rate rising slightly in June, while employers slashed 467,000 more jobs. That number is more than 100,000 more than analysts had predicted. May's job losses were 322,000. The overall jobless rate was 9.5%, the highest since August of 1983. That's also a tenth of a point higher than it was at the end of May. Stocks were pounded today as a result of all that. The Dow Jones Industrials dropping 223 points to close at 8281. The S&P 500 off 27 points to close at 896. The NASDAQ down 49 points to finish the session at 1797. Oil prices down as well, $2.58 to close at $66.73 per barrel. Plenty of reaction to this today, starting with the president at the White House. He says clearly this news from the Labor Department is not good.
The job figures released this morning show that we lost 467,000 jobs last month.
The president says it's going to take a while before we start seeing some rosier economic numbers.
It took years for us to get into this mess, and it will take us more than a few months to turn it around.
That type of rhetoric is drawing frustration from Republicans who say that Obama basically intends to blame President Bush until this economy turns around, taking no responsibility on himself and his current economic policies, including the stimulus package, for this current economic situation. The president, though, taking a look at the positive and defending his stimulus package. First of all, the president says there is some good news right now on the job front.
New ways of producing and saving and distributing energy offer a unique opportunity to create millions of jobs for the American people. And obviously, this is a timely discussion on a day of sobering news.
Lost jobs, America getting further and further into debt, controversial spending packages with large price tags on energy and health care out there. The president says, though, his policies are moving America in the right direction because he says the status quo is unacceptable.
Shoot for the future and not look backwards. So much of the debate around health care, so much of the debate around energy has been based on this idea that somehow if we stand still, that we're going to be better off.
Republicans, though, differ on that point, as you can hear in our other interviews here at RadioAmerica.org and WorldNetDaily.com. Glenn Thompson of Pennsylvania, John Shattuck of Arizona, and others among our recent congressional guests on this website that can tell you about the Republican plans on both energy and health care, as well as overall economic policy. Still, one of the president's chief economic advisors, Christina Romer, says despite Republican criticism, the stimulus package passed and signed back in February is not a failure.
No, absolutely not. It's evidence that this is a very severe recession, and we knew that, and certainly it is disappointing. We were hoping to see that continuation of the trend towards moderating job losses, but we certainly anticipate that we'll get back on that track.
Meanwhile, the latest CNN opinion research poll shows only 1 in 8 Americans thinks the economic recovery has actually begun. About 40% of the more than 1,000 adults surveyed last week said the U.S. is still in an economic downturn. Nearly half of the respondents said they do believe the U.S. economy has at least stabilized. Off to the war on terror now, and thousands of U.S. Marines have begun a major military operation in the southern part of Afghanistan, specifically in the Helmand province in the southeastern part of the country. Reporter Daniel Rinches has more.
Overnight, thousands of Marines were helicoptered and driven into the lower Helmand River Valley, an area rich in opium production and insurgents, who tend to blend in with the local population. Meanwhile, the U.S. military has confirmed that a soldier went missing on Tuesday in the southeast of the country. A Taliban commander says they've captured the soldier and are demanding the release of some of their fighters in return. The Taliban has vowed to fight back against the latest offensive, but so far there have been only minor confrontations. Daniel Rench's Washington.
The first American casualties, as you just heard, are being reported from a new offensive in Afghanistan. The U.S. Marine Expeditionary Brigade says one Marine was killed and several others wounded in the assault in the Helmand River Valley. You also heard about one soldier being abducted by the Taliban. That has been confirmed by U.S. military sources. One of the sources also there says that the soldier was actually then sold to a militant clan known as the Haqqanis, a Pashtun clan in that southeastern part of the country. The U.S. says that it has surrounded the area where it believes the soldier was taken and is demanding his immediate release. Elsewhere, Vice President Joe Biden has made an unannounced visit to Baghdad. That's the protocol for U.S. leaders due to ongoing security concerns there. Biden is visiting with American troops and will hold talks with Iraqi officials. A White House news release says Biden will push Iraqi leaders on the, quote, importance of achieving political progress that is necessary to ensure the nation's long-term stability, unquote. It's Biden's first visit to Iraq as VP. He visited Iraq many times as a senator and chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. This week, the U.S. moved combat troops out of Iraqi cities. It's part of an overall military withdrawal plan that is scheduled to be completed at the end of 2011. Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein was reportedly bluffing about having weapons of mass destruction to avoid appearing weak to Iran. FBI reports show Saddam saw Iran as a significant threat to his country and wanted Iraq to have the appearance of a strong self-defense ability. The report centers on a conversation FBI agent George Pirro had with Saddam in June of 2004 about weapons of mass destruction. The documents show that Saddam was more concerned about Iran than he was about possible repercussions from the United States for blocking United Nations weapons inspectors who were searching for the doomsday weapons. The materials obtained and released by the National Security Archive show Saddam thought the inspectors would release information that would telegraph Iraq's weakness to Iran. North Korea test-fired a fourth short-range missile on Thursday. South Korea's Ministry of Defense said the Communist North had fired three short-range surface-to-ship missiles from its east coast earlier in the day. The missile tests elevated tensions in the region that were already high due to Pyongyang's May 25th nuclear test. The North has threatened to expand its nuclear arsenal in response to a new round of sanctions from the UN aimed at halting its trade in arms. However, those sanctions heavily depend upon China, North Korea's biggest benefactor and trade partner. The North incurred UN sanctions in April by launching a rocket that was widely perceived as a thinly veiled disguise to test a long-range ballistic missile. And finally, back here at home, the saga continues for South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford, but for the first time in several days, he's actually gotten some good news. That's because the director of the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, Reginald Lloyd, says that there's been no evidence of criminal wrongdoing on Sanford's part in terms of using state funds to carry on his clandestine affair with an Argentinian woman.
At no time during this period of review did SLED learn any information, any facts, any evidence that would suggest that a crime had been committed.
That's a look at Thursday's headlines. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.